Radio.com.
Sadly, in 24 hours in Afghanistan, it's been a tough one for U.S. troops. 8 killed. I'll give you some of the details on that. Dick Cheney undergoes heart surgery last week. Boy, they kept a lid on that. And actually, the procedure that he had done is usually a temporary thing that became a permanent deal for him. I'll explain. Meanwhile, we all have our eyes on BP and what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. The latest there with the new well cap. We'll jump on that one, too. Hey, everybody. Hope you're having a fabulous week so far as we're getting to the finish line. My name's Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show, it's America Tonight. Best water cooler buzz around on this overnight highway for many of you third shifters, insomniacs, and people who are just plain crazy. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, if you're left of left or right of right or anywhere in between, whatever your stripes, you're invited to the conversation. All you have to do is hit the digits and chime in, 800-259-5791. Again, the number is 800-259-5791, or flip us an email. Everybody's about email these days, americatonight.net. In fact, at the end of the hour, we will go to our mailbag as we had a flood of email about a lot of different things, actually. Just like the show, you guys were all over the map. All right, but first we start with some tape that was released. This is tape. Now, picture, if you will, a video camera and somebody poorly trying to do a video showing why they did a jihadist act and, you know, it was all for Allah and ultimately what their fortune would be in the future is kind of the deal. You know, set it up, the camera. You've seen these before. And then you've got the one shot on the person who's dressed up in a particular way with a gun or notes in front of him or whatever. So in the case of Faisal Shahzad, he was the guy who almost blew up Times Square, or at least a part of it. He thought he was going to be able to do that. The video was released of him where he thought this would ultimately be what everybody would be playing and seeing. It was taped before the failed plot. And his idea was he was hoping to touch the hearts of Muslim people. And again, Shahzad is the guy who talked about staging the attack on the United States, tried to do it. Detonator didn't work. We all know what happened there. Take a listen to what this a snippet of this video sounded like.
This attack on the United States will also be a revenge attack from all for all the Mujahideen and the Muhajireen and the weak and oppressed people of Muslims. The democracy will be defeated, and so was communism defeated, and all the other isms and schisms will be defeated, and the word of Allah will be supreme, inshallah.
All right, in the video that he pre-recorded, one of the people that he praises as a martyr is al-Zarqawi. Remember the former leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq who was killed in an airstrike 4 years ago back in 2006. So these segments were aired by Dubai TV station, and you heard there that the attack would avenge the deaths of Muslims killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's seen just sitting in the video on the ground in a black turban and an olive-colored vest with an AK-47 next to him and calling jihad or holy war a pillar of Muslim faith, and that Islam, you also heard that, will spread on the whole world and democracy will be defeated. Not so fast. What's scary about this is the same things that we continue to talk about here, and we did last night with Jeff Atticott, our terrorism expert, is that while Europe still has more people who are being radicalized by al-Qaeda in some way, now we're seeing in America more people who are lying in the weeds, who are assimilating, in other words, who are ready and fully able to try to pull off whatever they can pull off, whether they actually have the blessing of al-Qaeda in some way or they've been to a camp. Remember, Shahzad had been to a camp. He went to a camp in Pakistan for 5 months, came back, and then wasn't able to pull off what he was trying to pull off. And he had waited his turn. He seemed like anybody else in America. He had a family. He had two kids. He was working in the financial arena, and people said he seemed friendly enough. They didn't know a lot about him, but you know, here we go with these extremist groups, and the video bears the mark, they say, of the Pakistani Taliban's media arm. It's called Umar Media, and analysts of that video say the Pakistani Taliban appears to be trying to use the video as a means of boosting the reputation of few people and reminding Pakistani Taliban supporters that they can hit the U.S. on American soil. So that's the sad part about that. Oh, man. It does make you think. It does make you wonder when you close your eyes at night, I got to say it, that who's where and what's going on and how much of this do we need to be concerned about? And the answer is we need to be concerned, of course. I mean, there's a serious threat to humanity, number one, because humanity tops on my list, and freedom, the freedom that we talk about so often. I mean, this isn't a joke. You know, we're not seeing, we're just seeing this hate or outrage bubble up from underneath the surface, and it's scary to wonder, you know, what else is happening, who else is out there that's like Shahzad, who seems friendly enough. And, you know, you high-five him in the office. He's helping you at your computer. But the next thing you know, something else is going on. So thank goodness he actually wasn't able to detonate the jimmy-rigged car that he'd gotten off a Craigslist SUV and set it off and blow up a part of Times Square. That's the good news there. So this is just the aftermath, and it just, again, shows the extreme and the fact that you could tie him all the way back to the Pakistani Taliban. In the meantime, on the heels of that, U.S. General David Petraeus applauded Pakistan's efforts at battling Islamist militants during his first visit since taking over as the top NATO commander in Afghanistan this month. That's a good thing, because remember, Hillary Clinton was in Pakistan and felt like now that there's getting some traction, that seems like there's more cooperation possible even than before between Pakistan and the United States. And he avoided public mention of the tug of war between the countries over the presence in that border area of militants launching attacks against NATO troops in Afghanistan. So Petraeus played it right. That's what he's supposed to, that's what he should be doing, right? Because the main challenge as the NATO guys, the top dog, is trying to persuade the leaders to turn their sights toward Afghan Taliban based in their own country in Pakistan, because we know that that's some of the worst areas, and that's part of the problem. Pakistan has had their own problems. They've been racked by deadly attacks in the last couple of weeks. It's killed like a crazy amount of people, 150 people plus. So violence is rising in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan, it's a good thing that Petraeus went over there. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to tell you what's going on with the leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Hang with us.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions' natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Hi, this is Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. It is becoming painfully obvious the Washington bailout is running out of steam and the economy is showing signs of a double-dip recession. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless, and they'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kranchnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kranchnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
Well, nothing quelled the drill baby drill argument like that little old oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico that now is on day 87. Do you believe it? 87 days. I remember when we first started talking about Deep Water Horizon, what happened when it sank, an explosion, and how sad the 11 people that died, and how BP was responding, and how much oil ultimately was being leaked into the Gulf of Mexico. The numbers they put out were paltry compared to what it really is. No matter how you look at it, it's more. How much? We don't know. Scientists weren't allowed to measure it. So these are all guesstimates that have been thrown out there. And the key thing is here, capping it, stopping it, stopping the leak. That's the thing that has to happen. So they're drilling those relief wells. And that's going to be done in August. And here we are really almost middle of July. So now you got this new containment cap scenario. And the government felt like they needed to review the pressure tests and all that sort of stuff before BP tried this, because the concern was, will it make it worse after all that's happened in Deepwater Horizon in trying to plug this? So earlier in the day, here's what White House spokesperson Robert Gibbs said on the BP leak and the containment.
You could have oil coming from a lot of different or several different places that don't have blowout preventers on top of them.
Absolutely, and that's part of the problem. So then you advance a little bit further, and the guy who I think's done the best job of being the liaison, which is what the retired Coast Guard Admiral's trying to do, Thad Allen, and he's very good and very pointed at updating anything that he can get from BP. So he talked about, first of all, the high sign to go, and then what specifically is being done.
Early this afternoon, I briefed the president and members of the cabinet on the way forward. And at this time, we'll be releasing an order to BP to proceed with the well integrity test. We will start to increase the pressure in the capping stack, and we will do this in six-hour intervals.
So the point man on this disaster, given the go-ahead after the review of the risks, said what you heard. They didn't want to make it a worse mistake. They didn't want to take that chance, more of a roller coaster ride again, the hopes and dashed and raised and all that sort of stuff. So the cap is what we've been talking about, a 75-ton metal stack of pipes and valves. It was lowered onto the well on Monday, remember that, and the idea is either bottle the oil up inside the well machinery and all that stuff, or capture it and funnel it to the surface. But you had to have that intervention to make sure the pressure wouldn't rupture the walls of the well and make the leak worse, which that's smart. I'll say that was a smart play. It's surprisingly, somehow they actually thought about it ahead of time. And that was good. They thought about doing it and went ahead with that. Now, what will ultimately happen, how much it'll capture, we don't know. It's gushing out of the sides because that's what it's supposed to do, the way it's been set up. So it's going in two other directions. And that deep sea robot, there's a couple of them, started closing one at a time, three openings in the cap that let the oil pass through. So then the flow of the crude would be blocked entirely. That's what they're trying to do. Just hit the hatches, if you will, and take the pressure readings along the way and evaluate the findings and then go from there. And, you know, some people are saying, well, really, should the feds have even delayed the BP cap test? What's the difference? They tested it, and I think that, yes, I think this is the one instance where it was better to be a little bit cautious because they didn't delay it that much. Let's go to Don, who's listening to us in Wyoming. Hello.
Hey, Jane, how you been?
I've been good. How about you, buddy? How have you been?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I guess the way it was expired, it was explained is that if they just tap the thing right away, then, you know, there might, it's kind of like, you've got a balloon of water and you got a little hole in it and you stick your thumb over to cover it and then all of a sudden it starts leaking through other holes or whatever, and they don't know how, they don't know how much damage was done to the pipe when the explosion happened. And so it's really a big mess. I listened to some guy from LSU, some scientist from LSU, and he just said, you know, they just don't really have enough experience drilling this deep in the ocean, and, you know, and it's just unfortunate that this kind of an accident happened already. And his best estimate is that a quarter million, 250,000 barrels of oil have leaked out of it already, and there's still another billion barrels in the well. So, you know, worst comes to worst, we're going to end up having about five times as much oil leak out as it already has. So they can never stop it. So, but I'm sure once they get the relief well done, it'll, you know, that'll help stop it. So
yeah, absolutely. That's the whole idea. That's the name of the game. Once they do that, it should be okay.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this bill that got passed and signed by our wonderful president to kind of control and regulate Wall Street, I guess it is. I don't know the exact name of the bill, you know, to make them play by a new set of rules or whatever.
Yeah, the financial reform. Yeah.
That's what it's called. There we go. And I'm laughing at it because it wasn't Wall Street that caused the problem that we were in. It was the real estate market.
The mortgages. Are you kidding me? You had it right on. The mortgages. Yes.
That's what messed up the banks and cut off the credit, and then everything else, Wall Street and everything else, was affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you're never going to hear the words come out of Obama's mouth, or neither will any reporter ever ask him. A couple of years before the financial meltdown, there was a bill trying to be passed through the committee that he was on to basically regulate Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's exactly what John McCain was warning them about, and of course he voted against doing it. And then the laughter was when they finally got this thing a month ago or so about it, he still said that he wasn't going to regulate either of them. And I'm like, you know, I believe the man intentionally knew that John McCain was right and that this could wreck the economy. And the only way the Democrats were going to get in the presidency was to have a bad economy, because that's the way Americans vote, Kate.
Sure, with their wallet, yeah.
But he's never going to admit to that, of course. You know, he's not going to admit back and say, yeah, I intentionally wanted the economy to go sour so I can get in the presidency. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. But anyway, though, I just thought it was hypocritical when he was pointing his finger at Wall Street, blaming them for what happened when that's not who caused the problem.
Yeah, you know, it's what's interesting is, of course, the three dreaded letters and the bailouts were ridiculous, but you're right. It's really the mortgage industry and the craziness with the arms and the people that were lending and then pushing off the mortgages to other people. Absolutely. It's really, if you wanted to squarely put it somewhere, you're 100% right, Don. It was more the real estate industry than anything else. And it's bizarre about Fannie and Freddie that they're not part of the regulation because they're part of the reason that everything tanked.
Well, in any case, you're exactly right. To point the finger to them would be pointing the finger at Obama
right.
for voting no. And he wasn't the only one that voted no, but
no.
The other Democrats that were on that committee voted no. And then the bill never even got through to the actual Senate. But in any case, okay, one last thing, real quick. Of course, you've heard the evil emperor has died.
You're talking about...
I feel empty because there's one less person I hate in my life now, Kate. I mean, it's just, it was like a part of me was gone. I mean, I just remember, just despising this guy. And there's two things that I was thinking about, and I'll throw these at you. You know, if there had been a salary cap in 1973 on baseball teams, which there isn't one today like there is in the NFL and also on NBA teams, although they can break that salary cap somehow by paying a luxury tax or something like that. And in the NBA, but if there had been a salary cap on baseball, say teams could only spend X amount of dollars on their players, do you really think George Steinbrenner would have been around long? No,
there would have been more parity across the board in Major League Baseball, I think. And even though the Yankees still, you got the pinstripes and people want to play and it's New York and you get the farm team, because they did have always had pretty decent farm teams, but still there's no way because they bought so many players down the stretch, specifically things they needed, whether it was an arm, whether it was a left-handed bat or whatever, you know this, every single time they had to.
Yeah, and of course he made the joke once about how the A's were his 4A ball team because that's where he get all his talent.
Right. Absolutely. But, he picked off a ton of people from there. Don, thanks. We're up against it. We appreciate it. Hey, coming up on the flip side, it's funny he brought up mortgages. So I'm going to tell you about home buying loan applications, where they stand right now. If you're in the market, you might be a rarity. Also, a woman cartoonist who might have gone too far over the Prophet Muhammad. Hang with.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Coming up, we're going to check the mail bag. You know how I'm always pounding you about send me an email at americatonight.net. I've got quite a few and a lot of different things, so we'll get to that. But before we do, how about mortgages, since we just brought that up in the conversation with Don, where he said, listen, why aren't they talking more about really what happened with real estate? Specifically, it's mortgages. So now what's happened because of the banks too big to fail and the mortgages, you've got really a log jam. You've got people stuck where they can't get approved for loans, and bankers who have tightened the rules for lending. So here we go. Mortgage applications to buy a home actually are way down. When you hear numbers like this, lowest level in more than 13 years, that's not a good thing. So that housing market is still very much in the recovery stage. I mean, really struggling still at this point. The Mortgage Bankers Association, they compile all these stats because they need to know. So they came up with what it was. They say the mortgages to purchase a home sank a seasonally adjusted 3.1% for the week ending July 9th on a week-to-week basis, and that made the volume the lowest since December of 96. And on the annual basis, because there's different ways to measure it, if you follow along, it shows that the applications for the week were down 43%. And, of course, what's happened? There's been a slowdown since the home buyer tax credit expired. Home buyers had until April 30th to sign contracts. They even extended the deadline to close the deals if you were actually in a deal, but you'd have to be in a deal to have this apply to you, till September 30th. But the new homes just went through the floor too. because of that tax credit going away. And now the whole thing is refinancing applications. I mean, that's got to be, I would assume that that's also declined a little bit. And I think it has, certainly over the holiday. We had the 4th of July weekend, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So you're not going to see much get done there, because I think a lot of people, even now, I think a lot of people take vacations, string days together and all that sort of stuff. But boy, you look and you talk to people, and we've had them on the show. We've had a lot of mortgage people on the show. People have been in the business their whole life and they're stunned. They can't understand what's going on, except for that. I mean, they know in their head what's going on, but they can't believe what's going on. No lender is lending. They're not lending a lot of money. It's tougher and tougher. And then you got to come up with the closing costs, whatever the closing costs are for whatever the house is. So if you break down the costs and you need, especially in places like a New York or a California, you might need $50,000-$60,000 to close. $50,000-$60,000. Or at least, I think the lowest that somebody told me was they needed $10,000. And $10,000 on top of a couple of other costs too. So, you know, you got people who are underemployed, people who aren't employed, they're stuck. A lot of people are stuck bailing out the banks. I really, truly believe it was a huge mistake, and it's made it that much more difficult for other people to try to do any kind of business with the banks, because they can't do it. They're stuck too. I mean, forget the whole short sale thing. Ooh, if you're in that situation, if the bank has you, ooh, it's tough. And I've seen people I've seen people with good credit stuck in some really hairy situations. So no, it's not going to turn around anytime soon if you're watching what's going on with the housing market. Those are pretty bleak numbers. Jeff is listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going this evening?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, first it's 90 at 12:30 in St. Louis.
That is hot, brother.
I know, but it's the summer, so.
That's
anyway,
okay.
I want to talk about the economy.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping I would not be right about this, but I had a feeling we were just in the eye of the economic stuff. You know, like in a hurricane, there's the beginning and then there's the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
But we're beyond that. See, because what people in the industry were worried about, that the second wave of houses to go under, and they knew that was going to happen because of all the arms, especially all the crazy mortgage deals people had.
Yeah, and like I said, I did not want to be right about this. I saw this coming.
Right.
And it was just, this seemed too soon to be over with.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew the same thing. I did a financial show, and one of the guys I work with said years before this even happened that you could see the handwriting on the wall because of what people were qualifying for and the crazy loans. I mean, people, just to make the money, the greed that was going on, they could just make up their job. They didn't check anything.
And it's crazy. Yeah, and I don't want to be a doomsayer or anything, but I got a feeling this is something that's been coming and no one can fix. I don't think we have to really hit rock bottom for real. None of this false stimulus thing, which is like being on drugs, and when it's gone, you're going to hit rock bottom, and I got a feeling that's what's coming.
Yeah. Hey, I hate to say it, but I agree with you. I think that this is just the tip of the iceberg. This double-dip recession that's been mentioned, I think, is a real possibility. I really do. When you look at some of the other things that are occurring, not just in mortgages, but particularly with that, because the lending affects everything. And until those numbers really turn around, I mean, we're right in the middle of this. Absolutely. Jeff, thanks for the call. And we're talking years. He's right. If you really talk to someone seriously who's in the real estate game in whatever form, like I know a mortgage guy who was making so much money he didn't know what to do with himself. He was silly drunk with the amount of money he was making 8-9 years ago. Now he's practically working at Home Depot because there's not a lot happening. There are little things here and there, and they're taking whatever they can get, but they're not finding that they're having the amounts of approvals that they can approve and run through that they used to have, and the amount of people obviously getting a house because they're not qualifying. You can see it. And so goes the housing. So goes so many other things in the economy. It's like when we had construction guy on, Kerry Clark, who talked about new home construction. And all you have to do is look at that, and you look at the costs of lumber and what's happening there. And that's a telltale sign of what's going on with the economy. All right, I said I was going to mention this. If you go to americatonight.net, I've been blogging about a lot of different things, but including this. There's a Seattle cartoonist named Molly Norris. The name might not ring a bell, but I guess she didn't really realize what she was in for when she decided to draw a cartoon about the Prophet Muhammad. Remember this? She set off a controversy in April that was published online. Then there was this imaginary group called Citizens Against Humor, and she came up with ultimately proposing that everybody draw Muhammad, that there was an everyday Everybody Draw Muhammad Day on May 20th. And then that led to this Facebook page that enraged many Muslims. And the FBI has now had to warn Norris. I mean, you get that call from the FBI, they're not joking. And they told her to be concerned about what she's doing. And they really wouldn't say whether she had any kind of protective detail. But there are death threats that have been made against her by that radical cleric that so many, unfortunately, are turned by. Al-Awlaki, who, you know who he is, the guy, the Fort Hood connection, remember Major Hassan and Abdullah Mattal, the Christmas Day bomber, listen to him too. He has ties to Al-Qaeda, and specifically, he wrote that she should be taken as a prime target of assassination. So, and I posted it on the website. The Pakistani Muslims burned her in effigy, you know, during a protest back in May in Pakistan. But now it's more than just burning her and talking about the cartoon. Now it's, okay, this guy pulls a lot of strings and people listen to him. And as long as he's doing that and he's fired this shot about getting her, the consequences of drawing, I think the Prophet Muhammad were definitely unintended. Part of it was tongue-in-cheek. She said she wasn't savvy to what was going on, that she didn't mean her satirical poster would be taken so seriously, and that's what it was. But it's too late now. You look at the Danish cartoonist who lives in fear every day, every single day, after he drew the Prophet Muhammad. Remember that? Recently, somebody went into his house. He was with his grandchild, and they hid. They have a panic room. He had to have a panic room, you know, just like the movie that Jodie Foster was in, because there was such a great risk of something happening to him, and he had grandchildren and other people in his lives, and he couldn't have them over if he didn't have a place to hide. So he had to take the grandkid, run in the panic room, and you had some axe-wielding nutball who is willing to chop him up if he could get to him. So I think she's got to be concerned. And once they open up that jihad on you, once they put that out there, it's just too late to take it back. So this woman cartoonist is unfortunately in the same situation as the Danish cartoonist who has the panic room, but there's not a lot of details about what she's doing to protect herself. But if the FBI's worried about it, obviously something's being done. You can read that on americatonight.net. All right, we push the mailbag segment that's coming up around the bend here on ATN.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located located and quickly packaged and shipped daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample or, for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green. Go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow for the rest of your life.
Of you responding to my request for email, I'll say it again. Check out AmericaTonight.net. In fact, if you missed some of the shows, we'll post a lot of the interviews and segments. If you go to the features site and you click on what you missed, you can check that out there. Also, the blog, a lot of times I'll cover stuff in the blog that we don't even touch on too much on the show, but what I just talked about, I do have on the blog. You can see a picture of the folks in Pakistan protesting and burning that cartoonist dummy in effigy, so to speak. And here she is now in that situation where she said, hey, I was being satirical. It doesn't translate with the jihadists, with the extremists, and when you're being satirical. And now, like I mentioned, it's just too late to take that back. Anyway, a lot of you did sound off on a couple of other things here on the show. So without further ado, let's check the mail.
The mail! The mail is here! Ooh!
It is ooh. This one's from Bill in Illinois, and it simply says, think the relief wells will work? Think they'll be done by mid-August? Isn't this crazy? Kate, will we hit the 150-day mark of the leak? That's a good question. 150 days is outrageous, isn't it? But look, we're almost at 90 days at this point. You look at the timing of with August, the next couple of weeks, there is a chance, my friend, that it could hit 150 days. The idea is the relief wells would cap the whole thing off. You know, it'd be like you have this hose and now it's got these leaks, for lack of a better way to describe it. And now finally, with the pressure, you found a way to shut it off by those relief wells, because they'll be able to get there on the side, dig it in, and cut it off. And that there shouldn't be a problem. Shouldn't is the key word. Because remember, part of the problem is deep water. There's not a lot of testing that's been done with the deep water, and certainly not in this case with this leak, because most of it was shallow. In the shallows, it's different. The response is different to what's happening with the deep water. But once the floodgates were opened, it was too late, and you know, the deep water drilling, the permits could have been denied for XYZ, or other tests could have been done, or other regulations could have been on the book, but it doesn't matter now. It's all about plugging the gap. So the answer to Bill's question is, I'll tell you, I hope the relief wells work, and I have faith in that part of it because of the engineering concept and how it's been explained how it'll work. So yes, I do think the relief wells will work, but the timing is the question, because August is the is when it's supposed to happen. Mid-August, that means another 4 weeks probably. Here's one from Joe Rob, who's listening to us in the great state of Missouri. He says, "Hi, America Tonight. I heard an interview earlier you did with a Marine. Sounds like a nice chap. I think his name was Nick. You mentioned that he was injured in a rocket attack, and now he's running for Congress. What I liked about what I was able to catch on the interview is the fact that he talked about just being a regular person, that he was just a citizen, and he told you when you asked a question about knowing the facts that he had to immerse himself in that, but that he knew the Constitution and that the Constitution was what was really lacking in this country, and I really liked his response. I say good luck to him, and too bad about those idiots with the cartoon." Yeah, that's kind of a it was a blunder. See, that's the thing about cartoonists, though. And as somebody who likes satire, I'm a person who likes satire, if you're a cartoonist, it's like Doonesbury, okay, Gary Trudeau, or any really good political cartoonist, they're gonna make a few people furious. I mean, they're gonna get under some people's skins, and that's what they're supposed to do. The idea is to evoke emotion, if that's what you're doing. The political cartoons, really any of the cartoonists, you could say that they're trying to elicit something from you. They want you to look at their cartoons to become a follower, if you will. And in the case of this newspaper, I think they bungled the apology, and who knows what really they were intending to do with the patch and whatever. But boy, that they went down the wrong road to go down, I think, because it wasn't very clear. So then when you get it where it's unclear, remember there's been controversies, a lot of controversies over cartoons in the past. I mean, tons. We could probably do a half an hour on controversial cartoons in the past, political ones, but even probably others too. You know, some of the Obama cartoons raised a few eyebrows. The New York Post got slammed for some of the cartoons that they had printed in their newspaper. So it probably was a bad judgment, because they couldn't even really explain what was going on there. And look, Nick was a guy who almost lost his life, was hit by rocket fire and was blinded by it, had a patch over his one eye, had to go through all that rehab stuff, got the Silver Star. So especially in that area, they were really not, they were just squashing the gray areas. You know, I always say the gray areas. They were just stepping right on the gray areas. Here's one from Jack Morgan in Vermont. I don't think I've ever gotten anything from Jack Morgan. And he writes, "I know that this seems like such fluff and stuff, Kate, but I just have to ask. I happen to just hear something about Sarah Palin's daughter being engaged. What daughter and who is she engaged to? It's not that fool that she had the baby by, is it, by any chance?" And you know what? You nailed it. It is. Levi and Bristol are engaged, and I guess the parents aren't too necessarily thrilled about this. You think of Levi and the things that he said about Sarah Palin, that no, she really didn't understand guns, and he had to show her how to shoot the gun that was in a box underneath her bed. And, you know, he trampled on the Palins, and now he's going to be part of their family. But Sarah Palin was smart, and when she was asked about him, she kind of always tried to push it off. She didn't dive into it too much, and said that, you know, he was always going to be part of their family because of the child. So that was smart in a sense, because, you know, here they are now engaged, whether the families approve or not. If they go through with it, get married, then, you know, I guess you have to forget everything that happened in between. Didn't you pose for Playboy? Didn't you talk about Sarah Palin now, your mother-in-law? It'll be all swept under the rug, right? And it was weird when they broke up in the first place, and, you know, who knows, they're just kids. But it just seems so, it seems so sudden. All of a sudden, boom, they're done. So now there is no dumb question, by the way, in Vermont. This is fine, because I'm sure it's made water cooler buzz everywhere. The morning shows, I guarantee, are talking about it, but they are engaged. How about that? Here's another one coming at us from, let's see if I can read this, coming at us from Barb, who's listening to us in Connecticut. Barb says, what's the deal with Dick Cheney? I heard you mention something about heart surgery. I didn't hear anything about that. Tell us more. Okay, so Cheney underwent heart surgery last week, and I caught it. Something I was watching explained the kind of heart surgery that he had. And he had a tiny pump implanted to actually assist in work at his heart, in the functioning of his heart. So that's pretty serious, because he's had congestive heart failure since he's been in his mid-30s. They inserted a left ventricle thing, device, whatever you want to call it, at a hospital in Virginia. And, you know, Cheney's pushing almost 70. He's had 5 heart attacks. And the first, he was only 37 years old. So the most recent one he had, remember, was at the start of the year, and they described that as a mild heart attack. He must be like an expert in that feeling. Oh, I feel in my chest. Something's got to be wrong. Let's go to the hospital. And he has to be taking all kinds of medications. He must have, you know, a lot of times they've got fluid that builds up, and that's part of the whole heart disease thing. So he must have had a lot of that. Must have had a bunch of tests, and I guess they discussed it with the doctors, and this is one of the new technologies, the left ventricle assist device. The LVAD was implanted, and apparently he's doing well. He's a little short of breath, but he was experiencing heart failure before he had the thing implanted, so he had to do it. All right, so you can send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.